Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligation under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on the item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, you use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters: Q if you wish to ask a question, P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer, and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. All right, so item number one on the agenda is apologies.
Yeah, there's an apology just from Councillor McMurray.
Okay. And item number two, declarations of interest.
Non-chairperson, Chair.
Yes, Charlie.
Yeah, on the action sheet, there's an issue regarding Newry Fallons. I'm actually a member of Newry Fallons. So.
Okay. Okay, so we'll go on to item number three, action sheet arising from MAHC Community Committee, which was held on the 15th of June. All right, Michael.
Okay, Chair, is there any questions on the action sheet? See, there's maybe some come in there.
Yes, Councillor Walker.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. On page 6, Michael, the top one there, Shamefield Community Centre, it was agreed to note and agreed to approve the following. And you see what it is there. Is there any movement in that there, or where are we on that there? Is there anyone showing an interest in the units?
Yeah, okay. Terry, obviously we got held up slightly due to COVID and the closure of the centres, which put everyone back slightly, but Janine might be able to tell us exactly where we are with that at this point.
Yes, Chair, we have we've had several meetings in relation to the expression of interest exercise, so that involves legal and procurement. We're finalising the paperwork, and that will be hopefully going to SMT for final approval before we go out publicly. We have had some interest, but we haven't officially launched the expression of interest exercise. So we're getting there, Billy, in short.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Councillor Andrews.
Chairperson, two minds think alike. I was going to ask the same question as Councillor Walker, but I've got the answer. And thanks to Michael and Janine and the team for their help. And thank you, Chairperson.
Councillor Giddens.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's just regarding on page number 4, regarding the suicide down to zero. I was wondering if maybe Owen, if he's there, could he give us just a bit of an update on how we're progressing with it?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. We rolled out, as you'll be aware, the financial assistance scheme, which was £10,000. We have allocated just over £10,000 now, to 11 or 12 groups. So we've had sufficient interest for now. It is remaining open, and to see if we get any more applications for that. With regard to working with the trust, there's been no further progress as yet, because I suppose that as much of the nature of how we're working at the moment. So there hasn't been any progress on putting that group together again. But the money we allocated has now all been issued.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you, Owen. Good morning.
Okay.
That's great. And Councillor O'Mara?
Yeah, I'm just happy to propose.
Oh, well, okay. And Councillor Trainor's happy to second. All right. So item number four, piece four. Janine, do you want to come in there?
Yes, Chair. A paper as usual from the Peace for Partnership. I'm just trying to start my video here for you. The report details their meeting via Skype on the 2nd of July. So we've ongoing discussions with SCP UPB in terms of the peace programme, and we have been granted an extension now until December 2021. The purpose of the paper is to note this update and to get recommendations approved by the partnership, specifically on building positive relations. So it's approval for those recommendations, Chair.
I see Councillor Andrews has proposed and Councillor Walker has seconded.
Happy to propose, Chairperson.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Okay, item number...
Leanne, there was item four, was the notice of motion.
Sorry, Sarah. Oh, yes, sorry. It's not on my hard copy of the agenda like that. It's notice of motion on period poverty. Councillor Hanlon was joining us to discuss that.
Yes, Chair. You happy for me to go ahead?
Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. So I'm just going to read out the motion. So basically that this council supports the period poverty campaign and charities such as the Homeless Period and Red Box Project. The aim of these are to highlight the issue that sanitary products are not affordable for all females. As an initial step, that the council looks at the feasibility of the introduction of free sanitary products in all council public conveniences. We should strive to proactively help efforts to tackle period poverty and be part of bringing about such positive change. It should be the norm in schools, university colleges, workplace, football grounds, concert venues, etc., for free access to sanitary product provision. We as a council will also write to the relevant ministers to ask for an update on the introduction of free sanitary products in schools and educational facilities. Currently, the North is the only area of the UK where free products are not provided to those in need. So if we could just say a couple of words on it, I'll not delay my errand. So just to highlight that many women and girls are struggling with the rising cost of sanitary products, and council as well as other public bodies can play their part in reducing this pressure. In 2018, the Scottish Parliament announced that all women, whether visiting or working at Holyrood, would have access to free towels or tampons. And the Assembly recently in Stormont has announced a similar initiative. Derry and Strabane District became the first local authority to offer products in some of its public buildings. In England, Scotland, Wales, sanitary products are also made available to those who need them. Research published by the Charity Plan International in 2017 indicated that 1 in 10 girls between the ages of 14 and 21 have been unable to afford sanitary products, and 49% have missed entire days of school because of their period and not having access to these products. I've been lobbied quite heavily recently about this. There's a lot done in the cities with regard to this, but down possibly in rural areas it isn't talked about just as much, and there wouldn't be as much access to it. So, you know, it's something that I'm personally quite passionate about, and I would like to see the support from the council in looking into this initiative. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. I see Councillor McCabe got in there before me to second Una's motion.
Yeah, sorry, Leanne, I have been off this, and the SNP supporting the motion tonight. It's a very welcome motion, and I want to congratulate Councillor Hanlon for bringing it to the council. It's something that, you know, not a lot of people like talking about issues around as they're commonly known as women's issues, but I mean it's about time that stigma and the message around that, where there is a lot of people in poverty and get caught out. But not only that, we have a lot of workers as well around a certain age in the council, and you know, I think that the free sanitary at least investigate the possibility of the free sanitary around our council buildings, I think is very, very welcome as well. So I congratulate on bringing this motion, and let's hope that it comes to fruition. Thank you.
Thank you, yes, as Karen said, it was something that I had seconded in full committee, so I was delighted to see Una pushing it on through. So well done, Una. Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Could I also thank Councillor Hanlon for bringing this motion forward tonight in Council. I know whenever my colleague Jill McCauley served in Newry Morning Down in the last term, it was something she felt very strongly about, and Alex, you raised it within the Chamber on an occasion. And I know she's also serving in ABC Council now, and I know that she has been taking that matter forward within that Council. And I think she might have been working with some of Councillor Hanlon's colleagues, I think maybe Catherine Seeley, as far as I know, just from discussing the issue with Jill. But certainly, you know, we're the Ulster Unionist Party's fully behind it, and again, thanks for bringing the motion forward here tonight.
That's great, thank you, Councillor Taylor. And I see Councillor Walker has also inputted that the DUP will be supporting the motion also. That's great. Okay, so, yes, go ahead.
So we had prepared a paper with proposals for actions on the back of this. So just for members' background, so in the last couple of years we have looked at some initiatives regarding this issue. So last year we were in partnership with the Southern Trust and the Southern Region College, the pilot A Pink Present initiative. So we asked for donation of sanitary products within three centres across the Southern Trust area, which are then available to staff or members of the public if they needed it. Now, the project was very successful from the donation point of view. However, there was very little demand for the product then subsequently. So what we did then at the end of the pilot, we gave them all to the food banks. But we're still working on that Pink Present project for members of information with the Southern Trust. And there's a programme of work in place up to the end of March next year, which includes local newspaper articles, social media work, information for college students, schools, youth centres, and relaunch of the service with donation bins in partnership with local chemists and Pink Day at colleges and youth centres. So there is that going on. So what we'd look in the light of what was proposed in notice of motion, that we're just asking the committee to agree to the following actions then, if it suits that. So we will write to the Department of Education and Department for Economy to ask for an update on the provision of free sanitary products within schools and other education facilities. That the feasibility of providing free sanitary products within all council public convenience examined, and a report will be brought back to the relevant council committee, which will probably be neighbourhood services. We would develop a promotional initiative to highlight the whole area of period poverty and continue to work in partnership with the local trusts to promote free provision against all sectors, as mentioned. And that we continue to participate in the Pink Present project. It's not that easy to say it. In the Southern Trust, and we'll look at if we can extend its reach, obviously, in the other part of our council area, in the South Eastern Trust. So if members are happy with that plan of action.
Leanne, you're muted, sorry.
Oh, sorry, I'm saying I apologise, because it was nearly a way past you without the report, but my agenda completely threw me because it's number item 12 on mine, but it's right. Fine. So we need a proposer and a seconder.
Can I come in again, Leanne?
Sorry, and I did see you at a queue in. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. Listen, I really welcome the paper, and it largely covers everything that, you know, the motion had requested. I'm really glad to see that the Southeastern Trust has been included. I did a lot of research into this before I actually submitted the motion, and I do recognise that there has been, you know, initiatives done before. But one of the things that was highlighted to me when I spoke to the officer that was researching it, that the Southeastern Trust is actually largely, there wasn't any connection really, and that they couldn't find any kind of initiatives that they were bought into. So I think it's important that we do try to get it. I suppose I'm going to be parochial down in this area as well. So I just wanted to note that I'm glad that that's been included in the paper, and thank you for that.
Okay.
That's great, Anna. Thank you. So I see Councillor Traynor has proposed, and Councillor O'Mara has seconded it, if I'm right in saying, Sarah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's great. Sorry, Janine, back to item number 5, what it should have been, for the piece 4, had you finished on that?
Yes, Chair, it was just to get approval for the paper, the recommendations contained within.
And we got that, Sarah, didn't we?
Yep, I proposed, Chairperson.
It was Councillor Andrew proposed.
Sorry, because the agenda that I had been emailed, my own email is wrong, so the numbers are wrong on it. So item number 5 then is the financial assistance.
It's item number 6.
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Janine, come on ahead.
Financial assistance, quite a detailed paper in the front of you. We're trying to provide the background of some of the decisions that have already been made in relation to financial assistance and set the scene a bit. So we've given extensions to groups funded in the 19-20 financial year. We're currently contacting groups that we funded within this financial year to ascertain if they're able to spend the money that they have been granted. Details are also attached about funding that has been given out through the period of lockdown. So the COVID response funding, good relations, PCSP, the suicide prevention, which Owen had referenced earlier. That's a rolling call, Chair, and it's still open at present. And there's also information on hopefully the third and final financial assistance call for this year, which will include themes around tourism events, community, sports capital, sports minor capital, Christmas illuminations, and COVID response and recovery. Chair, the paper also summarises recent decisions, council discussions within council, and some recommendations arising from the efficiencies working group for committee to consider tapping the capital grant from 100,000 down to 50k. There was also a recommendation from the efficiencies working group that capital monies should be divided equally between community capital and sports capital, and council should consider possibly a bar or a ban on organisations who have received capital funding for a 3-year period to give other organisations a chance. And finally, a reference to the legacy Christmas payments and a recommendation possibly that they should be phased out as there's alternative funding streams open for those groups at present. So just to summarise, Chair, I know it's quite a long paper. The recommendations are to agree the financial assistance themes for call 3, to agree the revised capital thresholds and the reduction of that larger capital grant as detailed in the paper, for committee to consider whether you want a bar introduced to successful groups on reapplying, to extend the letter of offer for current capital projects to allow them to get the works completed because there have been delays around COVID, update the financial assistance policy on all of these decisions and to contact groups currently in receipt of legacy Christmas payments. Anybody take questions?
Yeah. Anybody, anything they want to?
Councillor Marie has a question.
Sorry. I put in a question there.
Sorry, Councillor O'Murray was first.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a million. Yeah, Chair, we got a chance to get a good look through this here, and there was a good bit of discussion there this afternoon about the most of this. Janine, most of it's very welcome. There was a great bit of work done with the financial assistance during lockdown, and it's congratulations to yourself and to the whole directorate on the way that was all handled, and that, you know, it was a credit to everyone, and the council come out smelling the roses out of that. Do you see, in terms of the sports capital grant, where there's an attempt here to reduce it from 100 to 50,000, that we had a discussion as a party there within the last hour. That was proposed, or that was a conversation that was had during the rates process and the efficiencies working group of that. And Councillor Rowan, it tells me that he made a proposal, or that he asked Michael in particular to go away and come back with other suggestions of how we could deal with this here. The argument that our party is going to put forward is that you could reduce it to £50,000, no problem, right? And £50,000 would be a welcome capital grant for a club who was trying to build something at £100,000.
Yeah.
But if you were building something at £300,000, £50,000 wouldn't be as welcome, where you might be looking then at a grant of £100,000. So our party would sort of propose, and look at this can go away and come back again maybe next month, but if it would be a weighted sort of a thing, if you had said, look, not to go over £100,000 ever, but not necessarily to cap it at £50,000 either, that you could... If you're building something at 180,000 and you wanted 90, you could apply for that. If you're building something at 160,000, you wanted 80, you could apply for that. But you could apply for up to 100,000. We're not sure. We don't like really the 3-year ban on it, because we said if you were trying to develop, if you were a sports club and you were trying to develop and you had a 3-year program, or you had a 5-year program and you were trying to do something in year one, something in year two, something in year three. You might build something in year one and then leave it for a year, and in year three come back and the council would say, no, you're not allowed yet for another couple of years, and that would put a real block in the place. You know, it's not every club that needs the money. I know in my own experience, the club that I'm the chairperson of has never applied for any capital grant money, certainly in the life of this council. But I'm trying to think of other clubs that have waited years to put a capital programme in place. That, you know, I would propose in terms of that sports capital grant, that maybe officers can go away and come back with something else that's waited a wee bit more, and it's not we're not putting a limit on 50. I get that we don't need it to be £100,000 every time, but we don't really want a limit on 50. We could say that, you know, depending on what the application is, it can be anything up to £100,000. And then we could maybe look at that. But that's what we're proposing. So we're proposing not to limit it to 50, and we don't want a 3-year bar on it. All right?
Okay.
All right, thanks.
All right. Councillor McKevitt.
Yeah, thanks very much. On to the same lines as Barra. I see the 3-year veto as penalising clubs who would have a programme over a couple of years, like Conduff there, that had applied for the capital, or even the minor works as well. Was there any research done on the negative impact, or what considerations was given before this report come for the director of clubs that would avail of programmes over a few years, and also the 50,000 as well. You know, I don't think that we should rubber stamping that just yet. I think it should be able to come back to maybe this committee next month, the month after, maybe when we get more information on the consideration or the negative impact that has been in clubs. I think nor myself, a few clubs that, you know, would apply year in, year out. And I do get that other clubs apply and maybe not get it and want to open the doors. We get that. But mm-hmm. but certainly no club should be penalised. Our organisation should be penalised for spreading their programme out over a couple of years and a door closed by the council. I wouldn't agree with that at all. So I'm happy to second Barrow's proposal on that, providing that a report can come back on the consideration that was given. Or Janine, if you have any information tonight, I'd be happy to hear that. Thank you.
Yes, Chair, if I can come back. We did an analysis and some of the background documentation is attached on groups that were receiving multiple applications. So the theory that were there some groups out there that just kept receiving money over and over again, and the analysis didn't really show that there were groups benefiting over and above, that there was a spread of applications. So we're, as officers, we're happy that there wouldn't be a bar or a veto. It was simply a recommendation that we had to bring back. So we did look at it, and there's some analysis attached. The same thing in terms of the cap on grant aid. We will go away and review it again. The main problem seems to be for groups coming up with the 50% match funding for the bigger grants. But we can go away and look at, can we tweak that? Can we look at the match funding element if that's what they're stumbling with? Can we look at the applications, talk to some of the groups and see if there's something softer we could come back with? But yes, we did. We researched it first, and we're responding to discussions that effectively took place in the efficiencies working group.
Thank you, Janine. Councillor Taylor?
Yep, thank you, Chair. Yep, happy to support Barra's proposal in terms of having a look at them issues again. I know certainly working with groups in the past, you know, like St Andrew Olympic Hockey Club and Tully Vallon, for instance, as an example, where they had major projects, you know, at work in terms of developing sports facilities. And certainly if a 3-year ban had been in place at that stage, it would have affected their ability to finish and complete their projects, so I can understand. And on another way, though, I can understand maybe the thinking behind it as well, so to ensure that certain groups don't dominate getting the money. But if you've said the analysis of that doesn't seem to be the case, you know, that's obviously welcomed. The other thing is, too, in terms of the funding, there is an issue sometimes where groups do find it difficult to raise the 50%. That is the reality of the situation. And given even the current COVID situation and the ability of groups to fundraise and whatever else, that might even pose a bigger challenge in the time ahead in terms of raising them funds. But, you know, if we can look at that again, and we're in a situation even financially where we'll have to review things and look at things going forward, you know, with all projects really, I suppose, because we just depend on where the council is at that stage. But it's something we should look at and bring a report back next month. My question would have been, Janine, just in terms of, obviously, you've been doing a lot of work with groups over recent months, you know, in terms of trying to give them extensions and trying to work with them to ensure, see if they could, you know, deliver their projects, you know, over the in probably in the near future. In terms of feedback, has there been, you know, has many of the groups not been able just to go forward at all with their project? Have they just had to return the money or whatever? Or are we fighting that they are no responding positively to that? I think some of them are. I know some of them are because I've had been speaking to some of the groups, but I understand it's a challenge that some of the events probably just can't take place at all. And what sort of response are you getting generally?
Well, we're still in the middle of the review, but groups are being very creative around what they originally applied for and how they can adjust that. I think there's a great deal of goodwill out in the community, and they don't want to just abandon projects that were well thought out and they had fought hard to get funding for. So initially, when this all kicked off, if you'd asked, is our groups going to hand back a lot of money, we could have guessed and said, yes, we think they'll not be able to run their projects. But they're being creative and they're continuing on to try and deliver. And you can see from the attachments in terms of the money that we're giving out in COVID response, there's a lot of creativity out there, community online television project. There's lots going on where people in the community are adapting to the challenges. So we're hoping that the majority of them will be able to utilise the money we've given out.
Yes, thank you.
That's great. So we're happy then to go with Councillor O'Mara's proposal.
Sorry, we just need to check because Councillor Andrew had proposed the original.
Yes, okay.
So,
I just withdraw that proposal in favour of the new proposal and the seconder.
Okay. All right. So, happy to move on. I'm looking for a nod from Sarah. Yeah. Item number 7 then, Liss McCree Community Centre. Janine?
Liss McCree, Chair, quite a straightforward paper. We had a paper on Liss McCree previously, I think last month at AHC, a decision by committee to review the leases and license agreements within community centres. And the decision by AHC last month was not to purchase the building. That was the offer of the parish. Discussions with the parish have been ongoing, so they have come back and proposed a 10-year lease for the community centre at a cost of £500 per annum. And that's to help with the cost of legal fees and the lease of the centre. Turn you on mute. Maybe I can't hear, can I?
Sorry, Chair. Yeah, you're on mute.
I don't know why I keep going to mute. So I need a proposer and a seconder then for that. That would be £500 for the year.
Sure.
Who wants to propose or second? Yeah, I'm happy to second. Councillor O'Mara has proposed and Councillor Traynor has second. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you,
sir.
Can you hear me
all right,
Leon?
Yeah.
Sorry, Chair. It's me that's muting you because there's a bit of feedback coming.
All right, okay. No, that's fine. It's just I have come up that it was disconnected and things like that, so I was just wanting to double check. Okay, so item number 8 is a community asset transfer. And can I just make councillors aware that it's printed for noting, but it's actually for discussion. So it is. Janine made me aware of that just in our pre-meeting.
We have the X in the wrong box. We do need a decision. So, Chair, the report references discussions we've had with My Charity and also Development Trust A&I. We've met with them twice to look at the potential community asset transfer of the Ardnabannan Outdoor Education Centre just outside Castlewellan. The transfer, the purposes of the transfer, my would like to open or develop a personal and family wellbeing centre, and DT and I are assisting them in that process. Council has been asked to act as a sponsoring body and have detailed in the report that it doesn't confer any future liability on council in relation to the asset. We would be more acting in a supporting role. So, Chair, it's to get approval from AHC to act within this capacity as sponsoring body through a potential community asset transfer.
Yeah, I see Councillor Gallagher has proposed and Councillor Mason has seconded. I think it's something that will be very welcomed in the area and knowing what My does already in the community.
Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, can I come in on that?
Yes.
Thanks. Sorry, Chair. I think, given, as I say, working closely with My for quite some time now and seeing what they do within the community, this is something that I would, and my party, would support 100% for a wellbeing centre and for family, personal family. It would be something I would consider and see as something that would be a centre of excellence. You know, and it's not just within the local area, but also the wider area for what it's going to offer and what kind of the foresight's going to be. You know, and it has to be acknowledged, you know, what the great work My already does within the community and how it carries out. This would also bring a lot of opportunities with regards to employment within the area and sustainability. And then something within the statement and the policies regards an increase in sustainability within the broad community sector. You know, that building itself, it's sad every time I drive past it. The grass continues to get higher and higher. and it's a building that can be utilised within the community for so many options. And I know Mai Mai has so much to give, and not just in the council aspect, there's a lot of other therapeutic interventions that the Mai Mai would offer. So there's quite a holistic approach there. So thanks for the opportunity to talk on that, but definitely, as I say, be supporting this in any way we can. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Cathy, Councillor Mason.
Thanks, Chair. Look, basically, just I suppose on what Councillor Gallagher said there, he's 100% right. When you drive past Ardna Bannan at present, as it sits, it's terrible and it's just not good. As you're driving into Castle Whelan, it's a beautiful big building and it's sitting there completely derelict. And I cannot think of a better group to go in there and utilise it. So I think given the council's, it's on the action sheet and stuff there, the suicide down to zero approach that we're trying to tackle and trying to take on board, I just can't think of a better group going in there and utilising that building, and I would give my full support, and I think it's fantastic that the council is acting as a sponsor on this. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So, item number 9 on the agenda, Paul.
Thank you, Chair. This report's in relation to renewing a new SLA with Outdoor Recreation and I for 2020-21. Members will be aware of previous SLAs agreed with Outdoor Recreation, NI, and Working in Partnership for the Development of Community Trails. And so in March 2018 and in June 2019, we put SLAs in place. And essentially those SLAs to help scope and identify potential development of community trails, complete feasibility studies, develop management plans, and essentially submit planning applications for potential community trails across the district. So far, we've, I suppose, attracted in the region of just under £700,000 worth of external funding to support these community trails at Sol, Ballinhinch Rugby Club, Drumkira, Te Madara Forest, Seaford and Corrie Wood, which the latter are currently ongoing. So essentially, the recommendation is to, approve a further SLA for this current year of £40,000 with the detail that's been outlined in Appendix 1.
Okay. Then I see Councillor Mason has a question there before we go to proposal in a second.
No problem.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Paul. Look, obviously being from Sleeve Group, I can't commend this enough. It's been absolutely fantastic for this area. It's just a point on the feasibility studies. It's just something that's actually raised its head recently with me in terms of Te Madara Forest. And I have actually been in touch with Outdoor Recreation about it, and they've been extremely helpful in coming back. And it's just in terms of the trails and the boundaries running to alongside some houses, and their fear of scramblers and motorbikes and things like that, and quads and stuff. And it was actually raised that it, within Outdoor Recreation, that it hadn't actually been something that they had put anything in place for, but they will, and they're going to continue to work with me on the Te Madara site, that if anything does ever rear its head. So I suppose it's just for moving forward, if that's something that could be looked at in other areas, maybe proactively looking at stopping the likes of scramblers and things like that coming in. But like I said, I welcome it, and I think it's been fantastic so far for here. Thank you.
Thanks, Catherine. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. And Paul, thanks very much for the report. And I do welcome the paper, and it underlines the commitments to get these walking trails in place. I'm aware of the current set use that we're in with COVID and everything and how it's impacted, but I'm looking forward to the completion of the project, and particularly it's good to see Windmill Hill and Ballinahinch being mentioned. I think like so many other proposed walks, never, they're going to be wonderful attractions, so I can't wait to get trapped on those walks, but it's such a good news story, so well done to all concerned. Thank you.
No problem. And Councillor Traynor.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I suppose it's just really to say that it's very easy to support an SLA like this because Ori and I have been extremely good within our council area. Obviously, Sol GAC, being one of the first community trails in the Downpatrick area, is well attended by the local community. It's great that so many people are becoming more active and walking. So the more of these projects can be brought forward and the more external funding that can also be brought in to this council area has to be welcomed.
Okay. I see, going back there, Councillor Traynor proposed with Councillor Gallagher seconding, if that's correct.
Yep.
That's right.
That's correct.
Sure. Yeah. All right. So item number 10 on the agenda, the effect of the phone.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. So this report's asking committee to agree to council officers working with key partners to identify and promote safer cycling initiatives across the district. This has arisen from a previous notice of motion, so unfortunately it's a while ago, about encouraging safer cycling. So we're proposing that, you probably heard recently, DFI have appointed a new walking and cycling champion to ensure that they deliver on their commitment to increase the percentage journeys made by walking and cycling. So we've worked with SusTrans and the SusTrans Active School Programs. And there's a number of safer cycling initiatives that we can get involved in directly, including the school's active travel program, staying alive at 1.5, cycling proficiency training, and access to community bike rides. So we're asking that the committee agree that we will work with these key partners, including DFA, Public Health Agency, our local schools and SusTrans, to identify the appropriate initiatives, seek funding opportunities where possible. So both to encourage an increase in cycling and promote doing that safely, so it's safer cycling. So just looking for approval to proceed with that.
Okay. Councillor Taylor had a question there.
Can
you go ahead?
Yeah, sure. Sorry, I'm happy to propose it as well. I'll put that in there. Listen, I'm very supportive of this. I think probably during COVID there's been many negatives and many impacts on the community as a result of this crisis, but one of the positives has been that people have been embraced walking and cycling a lot more during this period, and certainly we should be taking advantage of that in terms of developing these type of initiatives. It's something that actually we recently discussed even with the DFI minister, as party reps. And I think we should do all that we can in working with the other agencies to move this forward. One thing I would say is, though, whenever you're developing these paths and initiatives, it's sustaining them. Because even some of the cycle paths we have, for instance, in Uri is an example at the moment, they're in a very poor condition. And I think one of the things we need commitments from is, in particular from the likes of DFA, is to ensure that these new types of cycle paths and things like that are kept up to standard. Because that gives encouragement in itself for people to practice that new type of travel. So fully behind it, and say anything we can do to promote it and promote it as quickly as we can, we should do that.
That's great. Councillor O'Hare, you have a question?
Yes. Fully propose it without a doubt, but just that we seem to be way behind in this part of the country now. I was down in Wicklow and was coming there the last couple of weeks, and this part of the island, there's no cycle lanes really about it all, so it's great to hear, and so 100% behind it.
Yeah, I think you said, Councillor Murray, there, you're still on mute, but yeah, look, I'm behind this too. I'd say I'm on this committee for the past 5 years, and this comes up occasionally. You probably come up the first year, or maybe the third year, and the fifth year, and that. I'm just going to say the same thing as I said the last day. Like, everybody's in favour of walking, and everybody's in favour of cycling. And I'm, as well as being a counsellor, I'm a teacher, and I would love it if all our pupils would be able to cycle to school. But I'm a teacher in South Armagh. There's no cycling, there's no walking lanes in South Armagh. There's barely footpaths in South Armagh. But it's such a rural part of the district that if you take the road from Craigan to Cross McGlen, there's no footpath on it. There's no cycle path on it. Now, I'm not just giving out. I'm actively proposing that we all in AHC encourage the incorporation of cycle paths on walking paths, of cycling paths in this instance, in rural roads that lead to schools, say, even, to start off, because somebody hit the nail on the head. They said, yeah, cycle paths are to be seen in Uri, and they're probably to be seen in Downpatrick. and that. But our district is a very rural district as well. So if cycle paths could be rolled out a couple every year in a rural village, one in South Down, one in and around Uri, and one in South Armagh, it would be a massive boost for this directorate. So, yeah, fair play. I fully agree. Second or whatever needs to be done.
No problem. Thank you. Councillor Casey.
Thank you very much, Chair. I suppose, Barra said there about cycle lanes are visible in Uri. Well, they're not very visible. The department hasn't put a lick of paint on them in maybe years, and the majority of them are parked. Cars are parked, their vans are parked, half on the footpath and half in the cycle lane. It's a danger both to the cyclists and people with prams. I use the term people with prams because men will push prams just as often as women will push prams, no disrespect to any of our female colleagues there. But where we have a responsibility for keeping them clean, especially the towpath and the greenway. And you know, you see it fairly often that people taking initiatives and cleaning themselves, cleaning the greenway and the towpath. I think our council needs to be maybe a wee bit more proactive as far as it goes. I use the towpath myself for walking. I have a bike and I haven't used it in maybe 5 years or more. I got it on the council cycle scheme and it's been parked in the shade. Brady says, do you go with the bike? Goes one of the two. But no, council need to be proactive where they have some responsibility. But I'll wait with bated breath to see how the partnership works in getting these cycle trails up and running, especially the Department for Infrastructure. Thank you, Chair.
No problem. Thanks, Charlie. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. As I say, I do welcome the initiative and fully support it. I know I keep to the walking. I don't trust bicycles or whatever. I don't think a bicycle will be able to hold me, but I do, again, I think it's a brilliant initiative and encourage it for everybody to get out walking and get out cycling. So it's a good news story as well.
Thank you, Councillor Andrew. And Councillor Traynor, if I'm right in saying.
Thanks very much, Chair. Chair, it's just really to say, again, fully support this year project coming forward. Obviously, cycling, like walking, many cyclists are cycling along country roads, as Barra's saying. It's about ensuring that there is ways in which these people can be catered for to be safe when they're doing so. And maybe there's also a role with regards to council and PCSP in encouraging safety for cyclists, as we do with safety on the roads in general. So maybe just to have that in there, that it's noted that PCSP can also play a role here in such partnership working.
And just, Chair, just when Councillor Casey mentioned about the cycle scheme, it'll be opening up again, I think, from next Monday, again, for another period. So, anybody hasn't got one yet?
So. And I'll bake for Charlie.
You like put coffee in the sun, you can't use modelling for your own head.
Okay, so if I'm right in saying Councillor Taylor proposed and Councillor Traynor second that, Sarah?
Yeah, that's right.
There's two in there. All right. So item number 11. Going over to you again.
Yeah, this is the Housing Executive's draft older people's housing strategy that they're consulting on us. Just looking for permission to the degree to turn their attached consultation response. They're looking at four themes: planning for the future, promoting and maintaining dignity, people's dignity, providing housing advice for older people, and promoting participation. So there's a consultation response attached, which is supportive of it. Just so members are aware, the Housing Executive are also involved in our own Uri Mourne and Down Age Friendly Alliance, and we're currently preparing our own age friendly strategy. And we've asked if they could acknowledge this in their own strategy as demonstrating partnership working. So just looking for agreement to return that response.
Councillor Andrew has a question, if I'm right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Chair. I'm also happy to propose in the lead. And I don't know why it's probably too late this day. It's when I was thinking that funding would be an issue to housing. Because I know in the only area in Rowe Island there would be people who have... have lived in family homes for many years, and what's happened is the families have moved out and they're left on their own. And what the problem is that a lot of people who are left on their own, there's no properties available to downsize to. And I'm just wondering if there's any if there's any way that that issue of funding and tracking grants for building like a folk like accommodation for our elderly residents, so we'll be taken into account as well. I think with all the houses being sold off in the early years, you know, the housing stock wasn't replenished. So that's a wee observation, but I'm happy to propose the paper.
Okay, and Charlie, you're happy to second there? Thank you. Okay, so item number 12.
This is the quarterly sustainability climate change forums, which took place at the end of June. The committee, just to note the report and just to agree the actions on the attached action sheet. I don't know if there's any questions, but
Councillor Mason has a question.
Thanks, Chair. No, it's really more just a statement I want to put on record to Sheena and Owen, as officers, and there's other officers involved, just the feedback on the climate change symposium. It was an absolutely fantastic event, and it was a real credit to the council. Sitting in that working group, there was an awful lot of work went into it, and there was tough challenges, given that it was right at the mouth of COVID, and with everything that occurred, there was a lot of guests and stuff that weren't able to make it. But you guys rose above it, and it was an absolutely fantastic day. Hopefully some of the things that were discussed at it and some of the learnings from it we can take forward here. I look forward to the next one.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
No further questions. So Councillor Taylor has proposed, with Councillor Mason seconding, tongue-tied this evening. All right. So items number 13 to 18 are for noting. So if anybody has any questions on any of them, and you want to discuss, if you want to just put it into the wee chat, and I'm sure they'll be happy to take your questions. Now, Councillor Mason.
Thanks. It's on, I think it's 18 on the agenda, the domestic violence motion. I just want to welcome that this domestic violence and sexual abuse policy has been passed at SPNR last week. I'm absolutely delighted that my colleague, Councillor Hyle, has brought this forward, and that the council are continuing with this development to making the council buildings and other buildings and stuff associated with making it a safe place, with, I suppose, the view to working towards achieving the gold standard in it. Domestic abuse, look, as we all know, domestic abuse and sexual violence is unacceptable behaviour, and everyone has the right to live free from fear and abuse. So it's vital that we move forward across the DEA, all the DEAs, to continue to liaise and work with statutory and voluntary agencies to increase awareness. So just to put it on as well, that I'm delighted that the council has taken this policy forward. Thank you.
That's great, Cathy. I'm glad to know you are let off easy this evening. It was only Cathy for one question. And then just for item number 19, for noting that the item deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, NI 2014. Michael?
Just need a proposer and seconder to go in committee.
Yeah, sorry. Councillor Trainer and Councillor Andrews.
Yeah, and if you just let me remove the press then. So I'll just read out then what was agreed while we were in committee. While in committee, it was agreed, item 19, the reopening of leisure facilities plan phase 2. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Trainer,
to note the report which had been agreed at the SPR committee meeting held on the 13th of August 2020 regarding the reopening of leisure facilities plan phase 2. Item 20, reopening of community facilities. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Trainer, to note the report which had been agreed at the SPR committee meeting held on the 13th of August 2020 regarding the reopening of community facilities. Item 21, scheme of delegation schedules. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Trainer, to note the decisions and authorisations contained within the officer's report.
That's great. Sarah, thank you. Well, that's us then for the evening. Thank you. All right.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, everybody, for your participation.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you.